D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan here with you. And before we get to Jonathan Hutton, I did this very quick research during the break. I asked how many times a seventh-seeded team in the NFL playoffs has won a game since they expanded the postseason, which I think was in 2020. Seventh seeds are 1-7. The one win was last year's Green Bay Packers win on the road as the seventh seed and defeated the Cowboys 48-32. So seventh seeds in the NFL playoffs are 1-7 in the first round. That Green Bay team went on to lose in the following round to the San Francisco 49ers.
And that team, I think, was 9-8, if I'm not mistaken.
The Packers' record, you mean?
Yeah.
I think that sounds right.
I'm pretty sure that's the case, and the Titans would have to go 8-5 to get to 9-8.
Seems unlikely.
There's still no guarantee that 9-8 would get you in. That's 50-50 at best, I would say.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us. Hutton, we've been, of course, speaking about the Will Levis, Mason Rudolph situation. Brian Callahan has been steadfast that when healthy, Will Levis is the Titans' starting quarterback. Look into your crystal ball for me, if you would. How does this play out?
Well, I mean, how healthy does he need to be to play? You know, like, that's my response to when healthy. Does he have to be 100%? Or, you know, in a typical game, does he go back into the game like we saw this past Monday night where they didn't let him back in? There's ways to – you know, make sure that you go with the quarterback you want without necessarily saying that he's not your guy. Although I have no reason not to believe Brian Callahan here. When he says there's no conspiracy theories, there's no ulterior motives and there's no second guessing. I mean, I believe him because he's done nothing but be, you know, straightforward and honest with us as just a Titans public since he took the job. So it's clear that they want to evaluate Will Levis, and that seems to be priority number one right now.
But if you're Brian Callahan, and we talked about this in the first hour, if you're Brian Callahan, how do you sell that to the rest of your team? Because the team just experienced its first win with a different quarterback under center. Sure. It wasn't a riveting game by any stretch of the imagination. But a win is a win. So if you're Brian Callahan, how do you sell Will Levis as our quarterback to a locker room that just watched Mason Rudolph not do anything stupid and get them their first win of the season?
Yeah, I mean, Rudolph managed the game. I thought there was a clear difference in just the overall, you know, run of the offense. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I felt like just in and out of the huddle, up to the line, all that. Checks at the line. I saw more from Rudolph there. Look, he managed the game. He didn't lose the game, right? We have seen Will Levis do that. Ultimately, though, Megan, I think it comes down to this. It's got to be Will Levis that wins that locker room. He's got to win over his team. You know, they're trying to evaluate if he's the franchise quarterback. I mean, at this point where we sit right now, at minimum, I say maybe at best for him, he's going into next year in a competitive situation in training camp. That, like, at best, as we sit here today, forecasting, crystal ball. There's a lot of work to do there. So I think we, to this point, I mean, I have my answer to what I've seen. And the question is, can he actually help win games instead of lose them? And, you know, it's about winning. And let me add this, too. I'm fascinated to see how they sell this if they continue to lose. Because, you know, it's not just selling over the locker room. They've got fans that are paying money to go and watch games. They don't want to show up and watch this team lose. They don't want to watch the offense give the ball away when they're clamoring for something different. They're looking to win. And the Titans are also at the same time sending them information on, hey, here's the new PSL package we want to sell you. There's a lot of factors here that are playing into this that I'm interested to see how they ultimately either stick with him or don't, given the situation of how many times do you roll this out there? In case in point would be the, you know, throwing an interception straight to a defensive lineman, you know, right in front of him. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ifs, you know, if this, if that. The only definitive thing we have is from the coach, who's telling us, yeah, he's our starting quarterback when healthy. Ian Rappaport is reporting in a post that he's written, saying that it's likely that he's back after the bye. And then you click on the video, and he's almost saying the exact opposite, where there really is no report there. He's likely to return, but is it after this coming week after the bye? We still don't know. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of outs to all of this, depending on how that shoulder injury is reported and what comes about with all this.
Now, Hutt, the way I believe this should be approached, because, listen, I believe Brian Callahan when he says, you know, Will Levis is the quarterback.
I do too.
But I believe him because I think that's what the owner wants.
Okay, yeah.
Him as the quarterback. And when she decides he shouldn't be the quarterback, I think she is sending a message down like, hey, it's about that time to switch over. But with that being said, I think the only way
– let me just jump in real quick with a thought. I mean, look, it was Amy Adams' Strunk's birthday on Monday, I believe. Mm-hmm. She's there at the stadium. I don't think she sit down anything that said, don't put Levis back in the game.
No, I'm not talking about that game. I'm not talking about the other night. But I'm saying eventually, I think she brought him here, meaning Brian Callahan, to work on the quarterback that she drafted, that they wanted.
And run a different style offense than what we saw Monday night, too.
Exactly. So my thing is with her, that's my quarterback until I send word that he's no longer my quarterback. So I get Brian Callahan, and I believe him because that's the word, that's the message that he's getting from above him. That's the quarterback. You figure it out. You said you can work with him. You said he has the tools, so you figure it out. But my thing is with that is, do you believe the best course of action is to help him keep his job or to help him not be on the hot seat is take the football away from him. Hand the ball off to your running backs. Use that offensive line that has developed into a good run blocking unit. Not as good pass blocking, but a good run blocking unit. So if that is indeed the case, let me help everybody by taking a little bit off his shoulders. Because I don't think he's mature enough right now to handle the franchise being on his shoulder. So if that is indeed the case, take the ball away from him and hand it to the running backs. Now you can appease the owner and you can mask his deficiencies out there by taking the ball away from him and only allowing him to throw the football when necessary.
Well, but if you do that, then what's the point of trying to evaluate him?
They did it to Steve McNair. They did the exact thing to Steve McNair.
But
I know it's a different time. I know it's a different time.
They didn't come out of an offseason. But Steve McNair would have gone back in the game too.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
They didn't come out of an offseason where the owner was saying, we want to get into this new era offense. And all I've seen is a lot of Mike Vrabel-type football, quite frankly. I mean, the Titans averaged 22 rushes per game through 3 weeks, and they had 40 in Miami. And the coach is saying, that's how we've got to win this game. By the way, they're coming back and they're playing Indianapolis. I bet that's the same mindset. Just don't give the game away because they're going to be either facing a backup quarterback or a starting quarterback who will give the game away.
But it's easier to sell that to the owner than to put him out there and throw the ball around the yard and watch all these mistakes mount up one after
another.
And keep
failing the test.
Exactly.
Well, let me add this in. This is what was also interesting, and I don't know if – I'm sure you guys have talked about this, why he didn't go back in the game. I think it was a clear opportunity to check out what Mason Rudolph was about in that moment. And let's just rewind to a situation now. This was the non-throwing shoulder of Will Levis, not the throwing shoulder, but it was October 15th, 2022. Kentucky's hosting Mississippi State, tight ball game. Levis gets hit as he's throwing a deep pass, goes down, AC sprain in his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. They end up getting off the field. Mississippi State goes down and scores the touchdown on the next possession. as the extra point's being kicked, Levis is coming back out of the locker room, back onto the field immediately to a standing ovation. And Rodriguez, the running back after the game, is saying, yeah, he was sending a message that he's not soft, and neither is this offense. They go on to win the game by 10 points. They also came back, Mace, and they handed off 8 or 9 straight times in the run game. But Levis had to make a throw late in that game that ultimately went down and scored a touchdown. And point being, there is no way that Will Levis would just be like, yeah, let's live to fight another week with the shoulder. It's clear he had his helmet on. I mean, he wanted to get back into the game.
Right. If Rudolph had been knocked from the game, I don't think there's any question that Levis would have gone back in and battled through. But so right. I agree with what you're saying.
Callahan needed that win, so he left Mason Rudolph in the game.
Yes, and exactly the way they needed to win was the way that Rudolph needed to play.
I think it's also I've thought about this too. The he made the point that how many passes did he throw in the second half? It wasn't very many. Levis could have done that. He could have handed off. My point is, I think there's also something there that they wanted Levis to stand there and watch another quarterback run the offense. I don't know if that's sending a point going to the bye or not, but if you're just going to hand off, I think Levis could go in there, given the fact that, I mean, he's still dressed out. You know, he doesn't have the pads off with the headphones in his ear to hear the play calls. It was very different. And, you know, the camera kept going over to see who's coming back out on the field. It wasn't Will Levis. And Levis did that in college 2 years ago to the opposite shoulder.
Hud, I keep spinning my wheels in my mind. In a sport where you cannot send a prospect down to the minors to develop.
Yes.
They do not have a good developmental system in the league.
They do not.
And it stinks. And I think there would be a lot better overall quarterback play and more good quarterbacks if they could find one. But I also try to think beyond it's all or nothing. Either it's Levis every week, sink or swim, right, or it's Rudolph and you can't go back to Levis. I'm trying to come up with a nuanced way to do it. D-Mace is bringing up some really good things to shoot holes in my plan, but I'm thinking of, could you try to have a quicker hook, right? If Levis does have a bad start, a bad turnover over, you know, early in a game, could you just have that be the standard and say, Will, we're going to keep giving you opportunities. We're running you out there. But if you keep failing the tests and making the same mistakes, we're yanking you because we're trying to win games. Do you think that could work at all? Or do they have to even go more fully into Levis is the guy if he's healthy, period?
I don't think it's either side there, Willie. I think if the coach continues to roll him out there based on this scenario that you're laying out, I mean, he looks ignorant. If you're giving the game away on these plays, I think at some point you come to the realization, no matter what people think right now, that the guy doesn't have control over his game day roster, right? Like that would be my assumption based on just the longevity of the scenario playing out. Not one game, what would happen week after week. The other thing is, you know, I keep going back to what Amy Adams Strunk said as to why she was changing the regime. And it was this new era NFL. She may have phrased it different, but it was the new age. There have been 24 wins across the NFL this year where the quarterback passed for less than 200 yards. So, I mean, I think it's going back to the old era. And if you want to win games, you just roll it out there right now where you don't screw it up and your defense wins it for you. That sounds very basic, but the style of offense that they want to run is more conducive for Will Levis to push the ball down the field. And unfortunately for what the Titans have seen so far and the fans are having to live through it, it's been a lot of dumb plays and turnovers that flip the game to the other sideline. And at some, what I'm saying, Willie, you can't do that every week and continue to tell the fan base that all is well. You know what I mean? Like you have the backup for the reason. They paid Mason Rudolph as one of their first signings for a reason. And it's more than just, okay, if Levis goes down and hurt, he can get us through the game. I mean, you look at some of the backup quarterbacks across the league. I mean, he's not near the top by any means, but he's certainly not what we saw in Huntley. And, you know, the Titans yeah. finally took advantage of a fourth string quarterback.
Here's another thing I would be a little wary of if I'm Rand Carthon and even Brian Callahan, even though it's his first year. But if they commit to Levis for the rest of the year and they struggle,
right?
I worry about Rand Carthon and his own credibility with Amy Adams, with the fan base, and also to, you know, the players that he went out and signed in the offseason and potential additions, right, to sell. This is a program going in the right direction. So I'm trying to come up with, how do I weigh if you're the most competitive you can be and you put the team out there that gives you a best chance to win every week, even if that means you go 7-10 or 8-9, as opposed to let's almost tank and go 4-13 and pick fourth or fifth.
And we're only in the 1st of October.
Right.
When the mindset was going into camp, you've brought in all the talent to put around the QB, right? And then at the end of camp, there's a video release where they've got their 53-man roster, the initial one, and, you know, it was Carthon and Callahan that said, we got ourselves a team. And now, you know, I think the mindset is let's find out if the quarterback is the quarterback of the future. I think you can do both. And if you don't know and you're really contemplating putting the backup in, I think you kind of know based on what we've seen. But I think the other part of this is at no point do they want to go into the offseason. And again, there's a lot of football left. At no point do they want to go in the offseason thinking, there's some uncertainty, not with the person that's giving the advice, but people that will be taking that advice and moving forward with or without Will Levis. Contractually, it makes sense that he's on the roster. But, I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here going, yeah, they're running it back with him based on what I've seen. You just can't continue to do that, especially given the fact we know that Amy Adams Strunk wants to win. I mean, she is – yeah, she can change her mind very, very fast based on losses. We've seen that. And even a team that was 7-5 with their general manager. Wins are important, especially when you're trying to open the new stadium and you need a quarterback to do it the way they want to do it. But it's not just the quarterback. But, I mean, wins and losses early in the season can be pointed to him.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday at noon. Hutton, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
Hey, just real quick, I think a sign for Levis's injury status is if they sign a practice squad quarterback, because Callahan doesn't really like doing that. I think the only reason they would bring it in is if they think Levis isn't going to play against Indy. So that would be an indication. I think that's probably the first indication based on what you've seen in Cincy. Whether or not they think the injury report is, you know, positive coming out of the bye week.
Certainly something to keep an eye on. Jonathan, thank you.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Hutton, Jonathan Hutton. I called him Hutton and Jonathan. I always feel weird calling him Jonathan. It feels too formal, but who knows?
Just call him Hut.
That's fine. I'll stick with that. Short and sweet. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there was a tweet that I saw during the game on Monday that really spoke to me, and I'm going to share it with all of you coming up next. Tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will take on the number one team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide, with pregame beginning at 1:30 and kickoff at 3:15. Coverage is also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com.